Mr. Pound, there will be no politicians from the UK, the USA, Australia. Instead, Vladimir Putin will sit next to Xi Jinping, and then comes IOC President Thomas Bach. Is this the picture the IOC wants?
Well, it's a complicated situation, and it's one that's evolved quite an interesting manner, from at least from my perspective, and that is that politicians have moved away from the method they used regarding the Moscow boycott back in 1980, which is that the athletes were the soldiers in that particular dispute. And so they've changed that to say, no, the athletes are outside of this. We as politicians have to deal with political factors, in this case, surrounding China. But we're not going to throw the athletes under the bus as part of that. And so the athletes are free to participate in the games, and the politicians will deal with the political questions. And I think that's a good step forward. Now, it's unfortunate, of course, that relations in this troubled world are so difficult that some countries have said, look, we are not prepared to participate under these conditions, and we will not go to the games. And so that's the beginning of, I think, what will eventually be a political dialogue, because at some point, many of these questions, whether they're harassment or trade or other territorial claims, are going to have to be dealt with by the political authorities.
But still, I mean, the fact stands that the IOC will hold games in a country where the human rights situation is very bad. How is this compatible with the Olympic values?
Well, the Olympic values are, it's a complicated situation, as you know, because the IOC has no power, it has no mandate, it has no role to play in bringing about political change. What it tries to do is walk between the traps and then focus on young people getting together for sport.
May I interrupt you? These were the statements that also Thomas Bach said during the week, that it was purely a political decision and the IOC has no business being a political organization. But if we remember 2018, the IOC had no problems facilitating talks between North and South Korea, which ended in a team that marched together during the Winter Olympics then. So is the IOC cherry picking when it's political, when it's good marketing, and now it says when it's bad marketing, no, we are not a political organization?
Well, I think the situation in Korea has been a long time in the making. I mean, going back to the end of World War II, and there have been efforts made. You know, it's a country that's still technically at war. There's an armistice, and there's not a solution to it. And so where you're able to have athletes saying, look, maybe we can indicate that it's possible for there to be some reconciliation of these things, and we'll do that with a joint team. I mean, that's a sport solution that everybody was quite pleased with, and it's less of a political maneuver than it was using sport to bring a divided people together, even if it was only for the 2 weeks or the 17 days of the games. So I don't think that's the same as stepping into the middle of an overtly political situation. This was sport being used to make a better world in that part of the world.
I think that the Uyghurs in the region of Xinjiang would appreciate if the IOC would not only help in Korea to create a better world, but also in China.
Well, I think you have to be reasonable about the expectations of a relatively small organization, and we don't, when we award the games to a country, we don't do it as an indication that we support the political objectives of that country. It's done on the basis of the importance of the country as a sporting nation and its ability to organize games at the level that the world now expects for an Olympic Games.
But isn't this just the problem, that you just focused on the sporting merits and the organizational merits and not on the human rights records of this country?
Well, that because the human rights issues are political. Those policies are determined by the government of
but
whatever
human,
the country.
Human rights, sorry to interrupt you again, but human rights are not per se political. Human rights are human rights. Human rights is something that counts for everybody. That's not a political decision if we have human rights or not. We have human rights, and it might be political if these human rights are fractured, but the overall Olympic values are based in human rights also. So again, how is this compatible with Olympic Games in China?
I think that answer has been given many times, and that is that China was selected. Well, China emerged from a process that has now been changed, as you know, for host selection, and there, we ended up with only two candidates after several European potential candidates pulled out, and we were left with the choice between China and Kazakhstan, and it was, as you may recall, it was a very, very close election, and I think if you were a Chinese analyst, you would be saying to your leadership, listen, we have a problem here. We almost lost to Kazakhstan. And so we have some issues we're going to have to deal with sooner or later.
And do you think that the Chinese did a good job addressing these issues?
Well, so far, no. Some of them are, as you know, not discussable. It's an internal matter. Period. You know, no discussion. Well, these countries that have decided not to participate at the governmental level are now starting to focus on how do we get China to the table to discuss solutions to these problems, because it's no longer sufficient to simply say this is an internal matter and we don't discuss internal matters with outsiders.
In hindsight, do you regret awarding the Olympics to China?
Well, no, in the sense that at the time and in the circumstances, I think we picked the best of the candidates that were in the competition. It was disappointing to see so many of the European countries pull out on the basis of information, and I don't understand how any sensible European country could possibly have thought that organizing Winter Olympic Games would cost $51 billion, which is reportedly what was spent by Russia. I mean, that's just silly. So we ended up being the beneficiary of some of that silliness, and that's the price of democracy. And people vote for different reasons, and that was the outcome. So in the sense of having a host country that could organize and put on excellent games from a games perspective, there's absolutely nothing wrong with China.
So
it's a very, very, very good and very organized country.
So what happens if an athlete in the Olympic Village posts on social media that the Chinese are committing genocide against the Uyghurs during the games? What would happen then?
I don't know enough of the facts about this. I mean, I hear them, see them in the media, but I mean, you know enough about your own medium to know that sometimes what is asserted as a fact is not necessarily so. So I think it would be helpful if there was, you know, sort of an independent review of what was going on and so forth, and maybe that's a step that the Chinese would be prepared to consider.
So you're doubting that the Uyghurs are in detention camps, and you're doubting the reports of the human rights organizations and media organizations like BuzzFeed or New York Times?
It's not an active doubt. It's simply, I simply do not know. Personally, I do not know. And I'm always nervous about trying to make decisions based on something that I don't know.
But why don't you know? Because the information is all there since years.
Well, is it really?
Yes.
I just
mentioned that human rights groups are reporting this. BuzzFeed reports it. New York Times reports it. They have satellite images. They have eyewitnesses accounts that told the world what happened there. And you don't know what's happening in Xinjiang right now?
I do not. I do not. And you know, you can berate me all you like about my not knowing, but I don't know for sure.
But then again, if an athlete criticizes China's politics, may it be the genocide, may it be about Hong Kong, can athletes criticize China during the Olympics openly without fear of repercussions?
Well, I must say that based on a Canadian experience, we make sure that our Olympic teams understand that they are going to a different country where there are different laws when they participate in the games, and they should be aware that the laws are not the same as they are in Canada or in Germany or whatever it may be, and you know, govern themselves according. But we do have an agreement with the organizing committee that athletes are free to express themselves in China, in press conferences and things like that, any way they wish.
So
they're free to do that.
So this is written down. So the Chinese government has given the IOC the written assurance that the athletes can say during the Olympics, for example, during press conferences, what they feel is right, and there are no repercussions from the Chinese government.
Yeah, our agreement, actually, it's interesting. The Chinese government has only two things that it promises. One is to let every Olympic accredited athlete or official into China without the necessity of a visa. And number two, there's a financial guarantee with respect to the costs. All the other arrangements we make are with the organizing committee. And it's the organizing committee that with whom we normally do our the day-to-day aspects of organization of the games and so forth. And the organizing committee has given that guarantee that there will be freedom of speech for athletes. There are some rules. I mean, for example, Rule 30 that you've probably talked about on your show many times is,
yes, yes.
You don't interfere with the field of play. And therefore, things like in the event and in the medal ceremonies and so on, there's no demonstrations there. But otherwise, you're free to express your opinion